Welcome to the second half of We the People Radio. My name is Erin Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff.
And I'm Bob Martin.
So much better if we just do it at the beginning, huh?
It is.
That's how we're supposed to do it, and then if I just don't forget. So we have...
And we're brought to you by...
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Powerhouse Solar. I don't have their page up. You caught me off guard.
530-275-5600 is the
there
phone number.
Or Powerhouse.
Not We the People Radio. We don't do solar in our spare time.
No, we don't.
But we
don't.
Can recognize when it's sunny out.
Right.
That's our qualification, and it ends there.
I could on TV, though, but not in real life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
How about on radio? Can you do it then?
I'm having a hard time doing it on radio.
Bill's got his headphones on backwards, and he's totally spazzing out over there.
Thank you.
I wish we had a camera in here.
Be careful what you wish for.
Bruce and Sue are like, you know what? We're going to stop sponsoring those people.
These guys are chuckleheads.
They're making us sound like idiots. Bruce and Sue are way better at solar than Bill and I are.
Yes, they are.
Way better.
They actually know what they're doing.
You can find them at powerhousesolar.com.
There you go.
And they've been in business since 2003. Yeah, so they predate this program.
That's right. They're not going
anywhere. That's our problem. We're at a handicap. We started after they did. What a couple of goofs. All right. So our guest today is Elaine Willman. And if you just tuned in, you're going to have to listen to the first part of the program because there's a lot of information. So we can't start over for you. I'm sorry. But we will continue on with this. You know, whenever you get into National Indian Policy, it's confusing stuff. And, you know, our point in bringing all this up isn't that it's bad or good or whatever. It's just most people don't know how it works or what's going on with it. And it is something that affects all of us, affects us, you know, on our tax base, our property base in all of our counties. And, you know, people should realize there are different laws that apply when you're on Indian trust land, if it's a casino, if it's a reservation, that there are different law enforcement things. There's really quite a bit to know that, I don't know, I never learned any of this in school. But anymore, just based on, you know, some of the phone calls I get at work, you know, there's a lot of things not being taught at school anymore. But Elaine is really an expert, and she has written a couple of books. I've linked them both on the page for you today. And the first one is called Going to Pieces, The Dismantling of the United States of America. And it's a story of an adventurous road trip across 17 Indian reservations from Washington to the state of New York. I think you'll really like it. Her second book that came out, when was it, Elaine? Last year or the year before?
March of 2016.
Yeah, I didn't think it was that long ago.
No, it
Slumbering Thunder,
about a year ago.
A Primer for Confronting the Spread of Federal Indian Policy and Tribalism. Oh, March 2016. Duh. I guess if I read it off the page, but I actually knew that one, so I was just kind of freewheeling it. You can find previous shows with Elaine on different topics. You can find those on the webpage at wethepeopleradio.us, and you can also find our emails and cell phone numbers and stuff like that. If you'd like to contact us with guests for the future, topics for the future, always happy to have that. And any sponsorship ideas, always, again, grateful for that as well. There you go. That is the end. Got that hammered out in like 4 minutes. Never happens that easy. Okay, so...
Thank you for mentioning Going to Pieces again, because a lot of your readers have that book. It's been a big seller since 2005. And it is an education tool. It truly is. But there's a chapter on the National Bison Range that I did two chapters in Montana and interviewed employees of the National Bison. There's a chapter that goes into
more detail.
Yeah, the first chapter is called Buffalo Country. The first Montana chapter in the book is called Buffalo Country. And it was really illuminating for me. I mean, I knew nothing about that stuff when I went through there in the fall of 2004, but I have followed it ever since.
Now, Elaine, anyway. We posted your request for people to make commentary to the Fish and Wildlife Service on handing over of the bison range. That's on the page here. But tell me this. I realize the comment period has stopped, and they said, hey, send it anyway, but when is too late? Do we know?
Well, I think that's an arbitrary call that the Fish and Wildlife Service will make. But I would encourage people to get their comments in right away so
sure.
that they're as close to the deadline as possible.
Because we always have people who listen, like, later in the week, you know. For some reason, we have a lot of listenership on the archives on Wednesdays. I don't know why people...
I think if they get them in within the next couple of weeks, that'll be fine.
Good to know.
And as I said, I think quantity counts. The American people need to speak up and say, these are for everybody. Our national parks and wildlife refuges and forests, they're for everybody.
Well, and for those people who might be thinking, yeah, but the tribe might do a better job, this tribe has already had this taken away twice, right.
And they've been paid for the land twice, big time. So this would be literally gifting them back the land and gifting them all the bison that were purchased by American taxpayers. Gifting them the whole thing back, just washing their hands of it, and then it becomes a tribal government entity, and who knows how that.
And if they do that, and the management isn't going well, and I don't know how you decide if it's not going well. I'm assuming you have fewer buffalo than you're supposed to, but okay. So let's say, however the measurement is, if it's not going well, and they have literally given the land and the buffalo over to the tribe, can they take it back?
I don't think so. And I think it would be very difficult, and so that the bison range just ceases to exist, and it's just tribal land.
Okay. Which is the goal
of this tribe and many others that just want all their land back. And this is one way to get it.
Okay. And the first two times, they were just managing very much like Forest Service or BLM manages public land. The tribe was managing, and it just kind of was a failed experiment a couple of times. So that's the recap of the first hour for you, but that's as far as we go.
the bison range is 18,000 acres, so if it's gifted back to them, having paid them twice for it, it's truly a gift, and it's theirs forever.
Okay.
So whether or not the bison range continues to exist would become a question. And that's a real historical loss for the American public. There's a lot of folks that come up to Yosemite, that come up the Bison Range, Glacier National Park, and these places are just resources for vacationers that want to see the Wild West and want to remember American history. It's for all Americans. So that's why I'm kind of noisy about this. But I'd like to get back to this traders with Indians that
the second part of our... So we have the trader. Let's see, I listed what you had sent me under trader regulations. And just in case we're not enunciating properly, we're saying T-R-A-D-E-R, not traitor.
It seems like lately
everybody's throwing around the word traitor, so I thought we should be clear about this. We're talking about traders.
Traders. And this is an old 1876 regulation that now in 2017, there's six different consultations meetings set up between the federal bureaucracy and tribes to discuss this. And these consultation meetings are not open to the public. And that's one of the reasons that I've been into this research for 25 years is that a federal Indian policy is what I call the best-kept secret. It's conversations between tribal leaders and federal agencies, and it's not information privy to the public, but their decisions have direct impact on the public. And so this is another case where they're going to review this old 1876 regulation, and they're going to propose rulemaking, and whatever they propose or whatever rule is the outcome will affect all traders with Indians in 2017.
Now, how would that really... I mean, what kind of changes are they talking about? I mean, if I wanted...
So if I
was a vendor and I wanted to go to an Indian reservation and sell something, there's special rules that I have to go by?
Well, right now, because we have, remember, the checkerboarded land, if you're a business on a state land or municipal property, what we call fee land, then you get licensed with your city or your town or your county or state, whatever licensing or permitting. You pay property taxes, business taxes, sales taxes to your counties and states, and you are under the authority and the protections of the state on anything that's not trust land. You are under the protections and authority of the state.
Okay.
And so the tribal governments have no influence on you whatsoever.
And that's probably the majority of businesses in the country are
exactly.
Right.
Exactly. We're talking hundreds of thousands of businesses located in Indian country that are protected and under the authority of states. This Traders with Indians would remove state taxes of any form. It would remove state authority, and anybody trading in Indian country would have to be licensed and would be under the governance of the tribe.
So make sure I got this right. If I own a business that's on Indian land, is that what you're saying?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
then I would be under their regulations.
No. It's no. Indian land is Indian trust land. Their authority is over only on trust parcels.
Okay.
Remember, we're checkerboard it. Most of the Indian parcels within, most of the parcels within Indian reservations are non-tribal. They're not trust. They're under the governance of the state and counties and towns.
Okay.
And the tribe has nothing to do with them and nothing to say and no authority over them.
Right.
This Traders with Indians would change all that. It would wipe out the state ability to tax, to collect property tax, sales tax, licensing. It would wipe out the taxation of states or any activity of states on what is currently state authority and lands. And it would require all those people trading in Indian country to be accountable to the tribe. And here's what trading, I want to read the 1876 definition of what is meant by trading. It means buying, selling, bartering, renting, leasing, permitting, and any other transaction involving the acquisition of property or services. Now, there are huge shopping centers and stores and businesses and factories within boundaries of Indian reservations that are not accountable to the tribal government. They're accountable to the state. And they're taxed by the state. And they're licensed by the state.
But they're on Indian land?
See, we don't have that.
No, they're not on Indian land. They're not even on Indian land, but they're within the boundary of the
reservation. Oh, that's the checkerboard thing. Okay, I got you. I got you.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't have that out here.
I don't think we really have that near us, so this is kind of a new
idea. We do have Indian land that's not attached to the actual reservation, but we don't. Yeah. I think on the reservation, it's all
Indian.
Yeah,
this is a scope that we don't actually experience locally. We need to take a really quick break. We'll be right back with our guest, Elaine Willman. We'll continue discussing this, this idea of trading and the proposed rule changes that she found in the Federal Register. And if you'd like to read the rules directly, you can find them right on our page, wethepeopleradio.us.
So many lies, you twisted my heart till something snapped inside. I'd like to give it one more try, but my give a damn's busted.
One night when the moon was bright on a moonlit day, that is where I found my little Cherokee maid. The memory of that night of love is lingering yet, and I know I never forget my little Cherokee maiden. I love her so, and though we're far apart, I know I'll never betray my love for her for anybody else's heart. Someday I'll make a trip back to the Cherokee Strip, and I'll carry her away with me. My little Cherokee maiden and me.
I like that one too. I like it when you're on Elaine. We can play all our Cherokee songs.
Yeah, a little Merle there.
They're fun.
Hey, is it Bill or Bob that does the music?
Bob
does the music, and Bill wears his headphones backwards. totally different people.
Truly awesome music. But Bob, I haven't heard my all-time favorite Kalijah song yet.
Oh, that's still coming up.
Kalijah's in the queue.
Oh. Oh, that's the one I just cried like a baby when I was a little girl.
Oh, we'll play that at the end then.
It's the first song I remember on the radio as a child. It used to just upset me so bad.
Hey,
I love that.
This is a Ginger or Marianne type question. Do you like the Hank Williams Jr. version or the Charlie Pride version better?
I like the original.
That'd be Charlie Pride, huh?
I like the original, yeah. That whatever it was that I listened to when I was about 8 or 9 years old, uh-huh. when radio was coming into my life as a child,
And the Cigar Store Indian there stood.
I'll look that up and verify which was the original. I'm not sure.
So we were talking in... during the commercials. Okay, so we still don't really quite get it.
I know. I figured out a way. What is the nearest town where you do your grocery shopping or you go to the auto parts store? What's your nearest town?
That would be Reading.
Reading. Okay. Let's say you go into Reading to go shopping.
Yeah.
And Reading is within the boundary of an Indian reservation.
Mm-hmm.
And all the businesses in Reading are non-Indian, and they're sitting on non-Indian land. And they're accountable to the state and the counties, and all the taxes that are derived from those businesses, including property taxes of the neighbors, the residences, the property owners, the renters, the landlords. All of the folks in Reading, if Reading is located within the boundary of an Indian reservation...
So if they're completely surrounded by reservation land...
Not surrounded by reservation land necessarily, but within the legal boundary of an Indian reservation. There's a whole lot of non-Indian land within the boundaries of a reservation.
See, that's the thing, that's the part that I guess I get confused. If you're on a reservation, I thought a reservation was a chunk of land, and everything within that boundary reservation.
Yeah.
So
it is. The reservations were opened up. They were very opened up and settled predominantly by non-Indians, and their towns were incorporated, counties formed up. And most of the land on Indian reservations is non-Indian land under the jurisdiction of the state.
So how would you know if your town is within the original boundary of an Indian reservation?
Well, you would get a map and look for the boundary of that reservation. Most of the reservations are very small, but the Yakima is 4 million acres. There's four big towns on the Yakima reservation. And there's predominantly, all those towns have hundreds and hundreds of non-Indian businesses.
Sure.
And hundreds of real estate agents, landlords, things like that.
A lot of land inside that reservation boundary is not Indian land, it's private land. Okay.
Exactly, and that's what the public doesn't understand, and the tribe never speaks of it.
I have never heard of that.
Never speak of it. I know. The tribes don't want you to know. They want you to think, oh, they got everything in their reservation boundary, and they don't. But they're going after it. And that's what this Traders with Indians is about. They are flat going after it. So, if you're a landlord, if you have a little shop, if you barter anything, What this Traders with Indians regulation update is oriented to do is to take away that state authority over those lands and require anybody doing any form of trading to be under the control of the tribal government. Now think about that, because a lot of property taxes, most municipalities and counties, their whole operating budget is based on property taxes.
Sure.
Buying property is trading. Renting property is trading. Shopping in a store is trading. Babysitting is trading. Everything, this definition of trading is so broad that the goal is to wipe out the revenues of these states and counties and take over control of all trading within the boundary of Indian
land. So anything then that was traded is taxed by the reservation after that, and not by the state.
Right, and so all those state revenues go away. All those operating budgets of counties and towns goes away. All the protections and authorities of those state and county goes away. And you're under the control, if you trade in any manner, you're under the control of a tribe that does not allow you to attend the meetings, that has no duty to you, and it's pretty wicked.
That
it's
sounds pretty wicked. Sweeping. Is that something that the people need to get to vote on, or is that something that the bureaucrats are just going to pass?
Is this Indian Affairs, Bureau of Indian Affairs?
Pardon? Who's it's coming from? It was published, and here's the really weird thing. It was published on February 8th in the Federal Register, and for your listeners, the Federal Register is like the daily newspaper. Any federal agency that takes any action at all, a proposed rule, a final decision, a regulation, gets published in the Federal Register every day. Now, on January 20th, when the administration changed, a notice went out to the Department of Interior, freeze everything. Anything that you are going to do is on hold until there's a new Secretary of Interior, until there's a new BIA Commissioner. Everything coming out of the Department of Interior and most of your other federal agencies, same thing happened to EPA, they're frozen. And so the Federal Register lately has been almost empty. Almost empty.
Well, because without, and just so people understand, without secretaries of the different, you know, the different departments, you basically have no leadership in those departments.
Right.
So you would have, I mean, unelected
lower-level bureaucrats just making all the rules and enforcing
them. Going wild. And so people said, oh, well, they're muzzling the agencies.
So are you saying, are you saying, Elaine, that that these proposed changes under the current situation or under the current administration, when he lifts that freeze, they will go into effect?
Well, the strange thing is, how did this notice get published in the first place?
Yeah, right.
There's a freeze. This is not a notice that, to my knowledge, has been approved by any Trump administration authority. This is something that was published when there was a freeze. And these meetings start up this month, in March, these six meetings across the country. How that thing even got published in the Federal Register under a transition freeze of administrations is the first question, and I've got people looking into that for me. But they have set up these consultation meetings in Miami, all over the place, six of them. And these consultation meetings are not open to the public, but everything they're talking about
affects the public.
Oh, hugely. And it affects counties, it affects states, it affects revenue that states and counties and towns rely upon.
Well, who's invited to these meetings? Who's going to attend?
Tribal leaders only.
Only?
Yep.
So yeah, the state doesn't have a seat at the table.
I'm in touch with a really intelligent prosecuting attorney whose county is located within an Indian reservation. When I sent him this notice, he sent an inquiry to the tribal leader saying, what's this about? May I attend the consultation meetings? And he was told, no, they're not open to the public. He, the county prosecuting attorney, can't even attend. See, this is why federal Indian policy is best kept secret until it hits you.
So this has to be, once they have their meetings and all their private consultations, this is something that may or may not be approved by the Secretary of the Interior. Is he the final word that says go or don't go?
Either the Assistant Secretary, who is the Bureau of Indian Affairs Commissioner, or the Secretary of Interior himself. Neither one of those positions have been filled yet in the new administration. The freeze is still on at the Department of Interior.
Right, because we have Senate dragging their feet, and so you don't have people in these chairs.
Well, in this case, I'm glad they're dragging their feet.
How this thing even got in the Federal Register February 8th, I will never know.
Not really.
But I'm going to find out. I've actually sent inquiries to the Trump administration saying, did one of you guys authorize this? I don't think they did. I'm sure they didn't. But some embedded bureaucrat published it. Got it.
They're having some problems with that.
Holdovers are
pulling strings behind the scenes and getting some pretty dastardly things.
And their first consultation meeting is next week.
Oh.
And they have six of them between February 23rd and March 16th. They're blowing these consultation meetings for this proposed ruling together very quickly.
Would the Bureau of Indian Affairs attend? Would the Bureau of Indian Affairs attend these meetings?
They run them. They set him up to work with, on behalf of the tribal governments.
But there's no head of Indian Affairs right now in the
somebody
new administration.
Somebody in BIA has scheduled these consultation meetings in Anacortes, Washington, Miami, Florida, Valley Center, California, Billings, Montana, Rapid City, South Dakota, Las Vegas, saying, all you tribes near these areas, you come into these tribal consultation meetings because we're going to take a hard look at traders with Indians and get it all done for you, for everyone that lives within an Indian reservation boundary.
Wow. So is that
the public may not attend.
And is that the biggest, what else is in this, these new proposed changes? I mean, that as if that's not big enough.
That's what the consultation meetings are for. They're asking the tribes, what do you want? How do you want to upgrade this? What do you want to do? And the two names I gave you before, Brian Kladusby, chair of the National Congress of American Indians, there's no question what he wants to do. He wants to wipe out all authority of the state and counties and all the revenues of states and counties within his reservation, and that money and that control goes to his tribe. He's behind this. He's number one behind this, and another fellow is too. This is, you know, I've talked on other subjects like water confiscation, handing the tribal governments management of our forests. This unsettling of the West, it was in full bloom under the past administration. Hopefully, we can put some brakes on it under the new administration. But how this thing got out in the Federal Register and how they can set up those consultation meetings that quickly is really alarming to me, because we're talking about hundreds of thousands of American businesses over which they are protected by their states and counties, and they are under the authority of their states and counties, and they have no duty whatsoever to a tribal government.
Wow.
Hundreds of thousands of businesses and towns across the country.
All right, hold that thought.
Yeah, I've got another question on that, but we'll pick it up after the break.
All right, we're going to be back with our guest, Elaine Willman. And just in case you have tuned in late to this, I don't know. I mean, we're not trying to make it a confusing story, but it's new information for a lot of folks. You can find all the details that we're discussing in the page from the Federal Register and the information Elaine has sent us at wethepeopleradio.us. We will be right back with you. Girl, that Elijah, the cigar store Indian. Tell us, Bob, who was it?
That was Charlie Pride.
I'm 73, and that song still gives me goosebumps. Takes me back to a little farm in the Spokane Valley when we first had a radio in the house and turned on the radio. And,
now,
I love
you, you might have heard Hank Williams Sr. Recorded that way back in 1952. That was the original.
Oh, then, okay, then that's what I was hearing. But it was about that year.
This was Charlie Pride's version from 1969.
Any version is wonderful. Above them all.
Yeah, you really kind of have to pay attention because it's not obvious right away what they're talking about. You start realizing it's like, oh, I get it.
Yeah. Yeah, he was so brokenhearted. I got it as a little girl,
Yeah. So, Elaine, we were talking about
Phil's over here just
trading with Indians.
Spinning.
So, yeah, I'm still beside myself on this thing.
Standing here beside myself.
I'm standing here beside myself. So let's say this rule goes through, and now all these businesses that are within the boundaries of a reservation, not necessarily on, they would be on privately held ground within the reservation boundaries. They now have to send their tax revenue, whatever the Indian reservation deems that to be. That money now would go direct to the reservation and not your state and county agencies. Now let's say that goes through, and I'm a small business owner, and I decide, you know what, I'm not sending my money to the reservation. Does the reservation have the law enforcement ability to collect that money?
They would if it goes through. They would. What will happen is a lot of non-tribal businesses will close up shop, and a lot of families and non-Indians will leave the reservation, which is the point.
So would they
the state
turn,
would lose all that revenue?
Well, sure,
and all that
sure.
Authority.
So would they turn like the local state police or the federal agency turn them over to those folks for collection because
There would be no funding for government, for county governments, municipal government. There'd be none.
Right, but the reservation now has the burden of collecting that money, and if the money doesn't come in, do they turn it over to the federal government for collection?
Well, I would imagine that if this Traders with Indians goes the way the two nefarious leaders want it to go, there would be some kind of enforcement mechanism in it, and there would be some kind of collection mechanism in it, and it would be all hell for non-tribal people that live on the reservations.
Wow. That is stunning.
But here's the big picture. It's entirely, that concept is entirely unconstitutional.
That is
completely illegal. Completely unconstitutional. It violates the property rights, the civil rights, the constitutional rights of every non-Indian that lives within an Indian reservation boundary. Business owners and families, all of them. It violates all of their rights if this goes through. States, your state legislators and your county commissioners and all of your elected officials need an early heads up. I hope a few of them are listening today. That's why I'm getting this out everywhere I can. This needs to be nipped in the bud. This needs to be stopped right now. It is not legal. But a lot of things that are not legal have been implemented under federal Indian policy.
Then you have
to take them into court, and you're years getting a decision into court, and meanwhile, they've wiped you out.
Look at all the Second Amendment stuff that's going on in California, most of which is totally illegal and in violation of the Second Amendment, but they're enforcing it anyway.
Yeah. I think this was one of the last pieces in terms of unsettling the West. I think, this is the economic arm to unsettle the West. They've already done it with the major river systems, the Columbia, the Missouri. The major river systems have these river system boundaries, and the rivers and waters used to be for economic development and agriculture and irrigation. Now it's for protecting cultural resources, and they're all about the tribes. So they confiscated most of the waters in the Northwest.
But see, at the end of the day, they're always about, one thing to point out is they're about the tribes, really, that they that they like. And I mean that in the sense of the people who are playing ball with the environmentalists, because
up on the environmentalists are moneying them up. The environmentalists are helping with this. This blends so well with Agenda 2030, with taking down the United States. This just blends so well with the indigenous movement at the United Nations. It all folds in. It's incrementalism that is spreading this tribalism as a governing system to take down states.
Well,
and it really is happening, but most folks across the country have this dancing with wolves. They just think there's a reservation out there with wonderful
It's kind of funny that you mentioned that, because I had this conversation with somebody who was talking about her son was just really, you know, infatuated with the new wolf policy and all that, and I had to explain to her, you know, the realities of wolves and what really happens, and pointed her toward Ted Lyons' book, The Real Wolf, so we could get past the Dancing with Wolves. But I was thinking about the Shasta Nation up there in Siskiyou County. Those guys, their historical footprint is the bulk of the county. They have people buried under the reservoirs. Behind the dams that the environmentalists and the other tribes want to take out. Those guys should have some standing, but because they got hoodwinked on a treaty deal years ago, and that's in the process of being rectified, but because they're not technically federally recognized, they just get shined through the whole process. So it's not that Native Americans are getting the upper hand. It's really tribes that are recognized, that are playing ball with the agencies and the environmentalists,
special
treatment.
The tribal governments that are cutting checks to state legislators and that are controlling the elected voices.
Yeah, they're not even, I don't even think they're getting away with that. I think at the end of the day, they've just been having a love fest with the agencies.
Yeah, the tribal government in and of itself has no authority to make these decisions. But the federal government and state governments do. And as the federal government and state governments cooperate with these things, then the tribal expansion of governing over non-members increases, and the state's authority diminishes, and ultimately the state natural resources, the state economy, everything gets taken down and replaced with tribalism.
Why would any state government go along with this?
California, one word, California.
Yeah,
I mean, why would they do
Oregon,
any of
Montana.
The crazy stuff they do?
But they're basically cutting their own throat, aren't they? I mean, aren't they going to lose all the revenue?
Yes, they are, but if they're the elected official in office at the time and they're getting big money for their campaigns from tribes, they don't care. They really don't care.
See, and I don't know what's going on with, like, Jerry. Yeah. See, these guys are such ideologues out here that it's, I don't even know if it's as easy as that, because, I mean, they're just, you know, like the idea of CalPERS, the retirement system here in California is, you know, looking kind of, the outcome's looking kind of bleak, but what have they done from an investment standpoint? They're not investing in anything that's connected to fossil fuels, nothing that involves firearms. They've taken this like, weird lefty list of things you can invest in. Well, I'm sorry, but those don't make any money. So their pension system's in the toilet, but they won't invest in things that make money because it's just against their feelings.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my God. Yeah. Do we have a song about feelings? I know we have to take a quick break, but I'm about burned out on feelings, I gotta tell you.
Yeah.
I'm becoming somewhat intolerant of feelings. We'll come right back, Elaine. We got to take a quick break, one more before the top of the hour. This always goes so fast. Whenever you're on, you're like a time traveler.
Yeah, I really got to double up on my blood pressure medication when we talk about this. Unbelievable.
I was talking to somebody about the VA the other day, and I said, "Hey, I'm really sorry I'm making your blood pressure go up." The guy goes, "No, I take medication for low blood pressure. Actually, this is really good for me." I was like, "Well, you ought to come to work with me every day. You could just be healthy and forget the medication." Oh, my gosh. So you're listening. Our guest is Elaine Willman, just in case we kind of blew that off and assumed here, so our listeners can catch up with that. Elaine Willman's the author of two terrific books that we have posted on the site at wethepeopleradio.us. Be right back.
When the train pulled into the station, he rolled up his sleeves and rosined up his pole. a living, you gotta put on a good show. When he smells smoke and the cinders, slick back his hair and open up his cage. Play Cherokee fiddle, just play it for the whiskey. Cause good whiskey never let him lose his place. He was always there, playing for the miners. Devil's Dream was a song they understood. Then he'd go back to Oklahoma. He'd wait till the train was running and the weather was good. When he'd smell the smoke and the cinders, he'd slick back his hair.
Big Montana sky sounds so relaxing, but none of this is relaxing.
Well, I'm sitting here looking at the big Montana sky. I'm so blessed to live where I am. And it's a good thing you can't watch me because your bumper music gets me up and dancing. It does. It is great.
Okay, we're going to require
Skype.
Skype now.
Yeah, oh, my God.
Video when we have our guests on
tonight. You know, but one of the points that what I've been following over the recent years and why I love to just talk about this stuff because it's not public information and we need the education, is this is a classic example. This is an 1876 rule when most of the western states weren't even in existence, when this was territory. And you know, we've talked about revisionist history. This is a movement that's been going on for years, certainly under the past administration and way before that, to reverse history, reverse it. This rule wants to take us back to 1876, where states didn't exist and don't matter.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And
sure.
where these Indian reservations were not predominantly populated by non-Indians, it wants to take America back to 1876. And that cannot be done in 2017. It just cannot be. But you have to watch this crap because so much gets put into law that is illegal, highly unconstitutional. And then you're decades reversing it. And by then it's too late.
Yeah, if you can.
If you can, yeah, yeah. So it does tie in with the international goal. You know, America is a prime target. Our life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness is on the line here, internationally, globally. And the tribes are pawns. The radical tribal leaders just jump right in. They want to be recognized internationally. They'll take all the funding from the Greenies and the Agenda 21 folks. They'll take all the funding from anybody to recognize them internationally so they're superior to the United States, which happens to subsidize them. All of us taxpayers subsidize them.
Sure.
And they're the only governments in our country. This is another huge reason why we have coin-operated elected officials. They're the only governments that can write a check out of their general treasury. They can cut a check to a political incumbent or candidate right out of their general treasury, which is our taxpayer dollars, and redirect it to get a candidate, an elected official in that's going to do what he's told.
And they're not limited. They're not limited to how much they can donate either,
no,
are they?
No, they don't have to report it.
Yeah, and that's also not mentioning the overseas money that they can take. And
exactly.
Yeah.
So that's how 1% of our population enrolled tribal members. And, you know, in their behalf, enrolled tribal members are clueless as we are. They don't know about this stuff. They just know they can't disagree with their tribal government, or they could lose their housing or their job or their health.
Sure.
You know, so they can't speak up.
Wow.
So, you know, it's the radical tribal leaders, and I don't mean this about every tribe, but I mean the big money casino tribes. Those are the culprits. Those are the ones with the big money rolling it out to our governing officials when no state or county or city can write a check out of their budget to a candidate.
Mm-hmm.
That's another thing that's very wrong. That's how they've acquired the political power. And we're working very hard to reverse that, but it's not reversed yet.
Well, stay on top of that, and as this thing progresses, be sure to keep us posted, and we'll have you back on. We'll talk about that, because that's going to...
This is something that just flies under the radar.
It flies under the radar, and it's just so big that if it's allowed to get pushed through in the middle of the night... it's going to impact a lot of communities and basically break the bank.
Exactly. And this seems to be rushed through. They published the register February 8th. The first meeting in the Sonomish Reservation is February 23rd. And then they're going to have five other meetings that will be done by March 23rd. And they'll have all the input from these tribal radical leaders as to what they want done to update this 1876 beast.
Mm-hmm.
This has no application in 2017. None. But they'll get it done if we don't watch this and scream about it early on and get our elected officials to, you know, up to speed and saying, do not let this happen. You're wiping your own state out, your own county out, your own towns out.
Sure, because there are repercussions to all of these decisions.
And again, that's called the 1876... The
first Traders with Indians regulations was 1876, and it's all forms, bartering, renting, leasing, buying, permitting, any other transaction involving the acquisition or property or services.
And it's called the 1876 Trading Law or
Traders with Indians Law.
Traders with Indians Law. Okay,
The clips from the Federal Register and Elaine's explanation of what's happening and all that is all posted on the site. Also, before we sign out here in 20 seconds, the National Bison Range needs your commentary, and the lady at Fish and Wildlife Service that you need to send it to is on there. If you have any questions or issues, just get a hold of us. You can find all our information at wethepeopleradio.us. And we thank you for listening, and thanks for being on with us, Elaine.
Again, it was very, very informative talk today.
Thank you so very much for letting me get this word out. You know, I sound like Chicken Little as the sky is falling, but it could fall if we don't watch this.
Thanks
a
million. Your timing was excellent.
Okay, thanks a lot, Aaron and Bob and Bill.
You bet.
Thanks, fellas. Okay, bye-bye.
See you next week, fellas.
Thanks, Elaine. This is KCNR Shasta Redding.